So Mark 7, please open your Bibles, and we're going to read from verse 5. The background here is Jesus was just on a mountain giving a preach. He fed 5,000 men and their families with 5 loaves of bread. Jesus is shaking up every religious believer, religious leader, every known thing to man. He's shaking it up. And he gets on a boat. He walks on water. There's crazy stuff happening, and people are just swarming to him. So here we go. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites. As it is written, 'The people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban,' that means given to God, then you're no longer permitting to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." This is pretty serious stuff. "And he called the people to him again, and he said to them, 'Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him.'" I'm going to skip to verse 21. "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for a good day. I thank you for you working in us and working among us and your presence here. And God, I pray you would bless this word, that you would speak to us, that you would convict us, that your fire would come down from heaven and consume all the wrong things in our hearts, Jesus. And you would leave us with the gold that you've implanted, Jesus. Thank you for your word. I pray you bless this time. Amen. So in this account, Jesus is rejecting the useless man-made rules. And he rebukes the leaders. He rebukes the church leaders, the religious leaders, to obey God's word. And then he goes on and he explains the real, the true, unclean practices. So rules of man, I want to talk about that. In this very interesting case, it was wash your hands. Now, rules of man can be good. Wash your hands. Anybody here in Canada, you're in a restaurant or an institution, whatever, and there's a little sign in the washroom that says, "All employees must wash their hands." Anybody seen that? I want to, just one thing for free, during this preach, please pay attention. I'm going to ask some questions, and you've got to raise your hand, and if you don't, your neighbor might be wondering about you, right? So just a warning. So wash your hands. It's a pretty good rule. Who here agrees washing your hands after you use the washroom is a good idea? Yeah, there's some. I like it. There's some. So I don't fully understand it. Maybe it's a bylaw. Maybe they think people will then wash their hands. But it definitely doesn't bring comfort to me when I'm in a washroom at a restaurant and there's a big sign that says all employees must wash their hands. It's kind of, you would hope you don't have to say these things anymore to adults. I don't know. But me and my house, we believe in washing hands after you use the washroom. And it's a simple thing. These rules can be good, right? Another rule. I want to put a plug in here for marriages. Man-made rule. As an example, no cell phones in the bedroom. Now, we don't have that rule in our house. There's nothing in the Bible about that. I haven't found it yet. No cell phones in the bedroom. But who here thinks that's a good rule? Just by show of hands. Who thinks, I love it, man. There's some good. Maybe you go home, go have a chat with your spouse. You know, I'm just thinking, what is in the Bible is, it says, love one another, serve one another, lay down your life for one another. And if the cell phone in the bedroom is preventing you from actually talking to your spouse or talking to your husband, just consider, maybe it's become a hindrance. Maybe it couldn't be a good rule in line with God's word, right? Rules of man can be good. Another thing, it can guilt us. Can a man-made rule, something purely out of man, convict us? I don't think so. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 verse 5, it says, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You see, when we are convicted, it's the Holy Spirit that comes and it talks to us in our hearts, in our innermost being. And we've heard testimonies up here that wasn't necessarily even easy to share. And I know going through some of those things wasn't easy for a lot of these guys that were up here. But there has been a conviction of hearts that only the Holy Spirit can do. And there was like, Jesus, I need to humble myself. I need to change. I need to stop what I'm doing. However, rules of man cannot do that. But it's there to guilt. It is there to control. One rule of man that I see going around our society, all beliefs are good. All spirituality is good, right? You have to accept all spirituality and all beliefs. Now, that's an interesting, because it's kind of condescending in itself. We believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So that's our scriptural belief and godly word. And then there's a rule of man starting that says, no, you're not actually allowed to say that. Everything is good. If it's good for you, it's good. And just by saying that means you're telling us we are wrong. Just like we are saying you are wrong, right? There's no actual difference. Both are saying this is an exclusive thing. And that rule, again, for me, is there to guilt us. It's there to control us. It's there to shame us. It says, you're not allowed to say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You're not allowed to say that because that is hate speech. All of a sudden, freedom of speech can become quickly hate speech. And I'm saying, no, that's a man-made rule. I don't agree with that. I agree with the word of God. I don't get convicted when people tell me all religious beliefs are good. All religions are good. All spirituality are good. So it can guilt us. Another thing it can do, it can ground us. It can immobilize us. We get paralyzed by the rules of man. You see, in our guilt and our shame, we can easily disqualify ourselves for a job, for a task that God has made us for. It's a lie. Rules of man spoken over our lives can often just be a lie that grounds us, just like an airplane. It's grounded. You guys follow Boeing 737 MAX. I was on a 737 the other day. Luckily, it wasn't a max. All of them are not allowed to fly. They're grounded. But these rules of man can ground us not to take off ever again because we believed a lie in our lives. One silly example, we moved into a house. We bought the house 6 years ago. And we met the owner, actually, an old guy from the U of A and beautiful guy. And we had a good chat. He showed us all the renovations he did. It's funny. It's sometimes funny meeting the owner of the house you're buying. But he was a sweet guy. And we looked at the lock. There's a little padlock on the front door. And he said, oh, that doesn't work. Never worked, right? Code doesn't work. I'm like, okay, funny, but we've got a key. It's all right. And I tinker a bit. I see myself a little bit as a technical guy, and I think I can figure out why a lock doesn't work. And I tinker with it, try things here and there, and it doesn't. No, okay, I guess it's true. It doesn't work. I'm not going to spend money on a new lock right now. We've got a key. So we get a baby, Helene. She starts growing up. She walks and talks. And then probably when she was three, so easily 3 years in that house, she starts pressing buttons, right? Any button she can find, she presses. And one day, I hear, and I'm, what did you just do? And I'm looking at Helene. I'm like, what is going on? Did you just, and I see the little bolt came out. I'm like, you're kidding me? This door can lock? How many times Have we left the house, been in the car, started the car waiting, and then somebody's still in the house coming out, and it's like, oh, we've still got to lock the front door. Switch off the car, take out the key, here's the key, walk back to the front door, lock it, and come back, start the car again, now we can go off. And all this time, there's a little lock button you can press, and it gets locked. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, it's another humbling experience. And change the batteries, make sure it's good. And now I'm thinking, well, if the locking mechanism works, I bet you the unlocking mechanism will work as well. So, okay, go on your phone, you search padlock, door, automatic, whatever. And it doesn't take long. You find the kind of model and you figure out how to program it. And boom, we've got a working padlock front door, battery powered. And for 3 years, we believed a lie because we never checked it out. It's a stupid, funny story. You guys are believing lies often. We believe lies in our lives. We never go and test to the Word of God. I want to ask you, what lies are you still believing today that is stealing from your life? And as I keep talking and we sharing, I want you to just pray. Pray to God. What lies, God, am I still believing? He will reveal it to you. When we ask for wisdom, He always gives. It can even make us gloat. The rules of man, it can make us prideful. False comforts. And I think of Elaine playing a little game, and she and David and Micah, and they're running around, and the game could be as stupid as the one with the red block is winning. So she grabs the red block and she's running and running. And then two boys get her, pin her down, grab the red block, and now they're winning. And then guess what? The rules change of the game. It's the guy with the green block is now winning, and Elaine would grab the green. No, guys, it changed, right? Here's the green block. We make up little rules and games so that we feel good about ourselves, so that we feel like we're winning. And then we look down on others, right? I tried to get a bit more personal last night. I was asking for help with from Ilani, Pam, just saying, hey, what can I speak about here? And Ilani's like, Herman, it's pretty easy. She always sees my blind spots. The house, the cleanliness of the house. Why don't you talk a bit about that? Okay, there's nothing really in the Bible that says you have to clean your house this many times a week or whatever. There's about good stewardship. But anyway, easily. Easily, we can take a man-made rule. Hey, let's wash the clothes on the Monday, or let's vacuum the carpet on a Tuesday, whatever, and make it a man-made rule. And now I'm there, Josh, I'm looking at you, cleaning my house, and I feel so good about myself because I've seen other people's houses, right? Look at my house. Look at the level of excellence that I'm having here, right? Anyway, you guys do with that what you want to do. But is it really bringing life? Is it really serving God? Is it glorifying God? With the right heart, the right attitude, with my wife still smiling at me, I think it brings life. But when I'm destroying my family, as long as the house is clean, guys, we got to pause and ask God for help. Rules we make up. We compare, man. As long as I live a better life than Russell. As long as at least I don't drive as bad as Leonard. So I'm okay. We compare with each other, with our dads, with our mentors, with our pastors. We compare and say, well, at least I'm not that bad. And that's a rule we make in our lives to make us feel good about ourselves. Well, I'm pretty okay. Look at him. God asks for perfection. God says, Matthew 5:48, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Here's a wake-up call. We are not the standard here, guys. If you think the front row, the second row, whatever, your boss at work, he's not the standard. Jesus is the standard, the perfection. So whatever rule you have in your life to make you feel better about your mess, Repent. Jesus is the standard. The rules of man, it can be very dangerous. I want to talk about missing the mark. These religious leaders, they were exposing their own falsehood with this lip service. And to just get back to what just happened here, amazing miracles, things that hasn't been seen for 400 years. There is preaching, teaching, miraculous wonders and healings. Jesus is speaking with authority. It's a complete shake-up in the world. And the religious leaders, the church leaders, flock towards him. He just escaped the crowds, got to the other side of the lake. Again, they flock to him. And here's what they say. Jesus, let's just hit pause for a second. I know you're healing everybody and people are getting saved and they're finding peace and the demon-possessed can be free. But hold on. Your disciples, I saw them, they didn't wash their hands before they ate. That was one of our rules, right? We made that. That's a tradition of the elders, and they're not paying attention. It's like, bear with me, 4 years ago, we had a Rugby World Cup, and the Springboks were playing Japan. Now, if you know Japan, if you met Japanese people, they're not the biggest and strongest. And if you met South Africans, Dutch descendants, we are a little taller often. And we eat a lot of boerewors, we grow. So Japan has never been a threat for the Springboks. But this 1 year, it was a dark history in the country of South Africa. Japan came and played a game and beat the Springboks in the Rugby World Cup. It was revolutionary. It was unheard of. It was a massive upset. And it's interesting, afterwards they always have a little interview with the captains. You know what? The guy would say, hey, captain, I can't remember who it was. How was the game? They never said to the Japanese captain, they've got their white shirt, red stripes. They never said to him, hey, good game, just hold on a second. You see here right on your shirt there, it looks like a little green patch, a grass stain. Maybe there's a, what is that? Nobody asked the Japan rugby captain, why is there a little stain on his rugby shirt? That's not, you're completely missing the mark there. If you start considering, why is your shirt not nice and white like the way you started the rugby game? No, you're completely missing the point when we start focusing on these ideas of us. You see, their heart is to control. Their heart is to self-promote. Talk is cheap. My grandma, she used to say, praat is afdraand. It means to talk is like riding downhill. It's very easy and anybody can do it. All you need to do is stay on top. And I can talk a pretty good rugby game, but don't ask me to play. I've tried. I'm too skinny and too slow. I can talk a good game of rugby, but I cannot play it. Talk is cheap. These guys, by actually just asking the question, is exposing their own hearts. And instead of God's command, they follow their own rules. You see, God gave some rules. It's a reflection of His holiness. It's a reflection of us not actually being able to meet them. And then instead of understanding what God is saying behind it and following the rules, they made some hedge rules over here, so that they can be sure that they don't mess up with any of these laws. And then didn't quickly made another hedge, and very quickly, all of a sudden, all these new man-made things actually become the main thing, and they forgot what it was all about. What was the main thing? What was the main thing that God is asking us? You see, to obey God is not so easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. And he specifically, Jesus takes out, honor your father and your mother. Why does the Bible say that? Because it's not so easy to honor our mothers and our fathers, especially when we get smarter and we start seeing their flaws and we start seeing gaps in their lives and how they've been treating us. And all of a sudden we have to, okay, Jesus, I need your strength actually to still keep honoring my father and my mother, to keep loving them, to keep giving them. They made this little law. It's like tax evasion. They made this little rule that as long as you say, what I was gonna give to my mom and dad, I gave to God. So it's nullified. Done. I don't have to take care of you guys anymore. Self-serving. Love your brother. Why do we see that in the Bible? It's because we know our brother. He's right next to you. We see him. It's not so easy to love our brother every day. I liked what we heard at the MFI conference. Jonathan Lambert, he's a leader in the ARC group, planting churches all over Canada. And he was saying often a church would go and there would be a moment. There would be a miraculous spiritual experience. And a church would take a moment and they turn it into a monument. Maybe there was a certain song being played. Maybe there was a certain blend of coffee being served that day. But all of a sudden, instead of about God's presence, it's about what kind of pants did I wear that day. Maybe the anointing was in the pants. What kind of symbols were on the kit? Maybe the symbols was there. We take that and we build this monument. We build this idol and we think that God will continue to bless us or serve us in this. No. What God is asking us, take those moments, take those spiritual downloads, but turn it into a movement. Keep going, keep seeking every day anew. We have to go and collect the manna for the day. We have to go and seek God out for new, fresh bread every day. When we turn it into a monument, it becomes a graveyard. It's like a thing that's over a grave. Nothing comes out of it. Here at our church, we have habits. We've got things that we do. We've got a few songs we sing with the band. We've got a time of prayer sometimes or a preach. We have coffee and snacks afterwards. But never ever should our little routine become the main thing. Our purpose here is not to serve excellent coffee, right? And it's okay. Our purpose here is to require of God, to ask him to fill this place with his presence, to glorify his name together. And on that, we will keep aiming for and keep going for. And the rest of it can fall away. And if later it was saying, Armand, we're not preaching today, that would be okay because God already worked among us today. He already spoke to us. So I'm thankful for a morning like this morning where we can be real with God. He's speaking to us. We were made to worship God. Psalm 29, it says, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. And if you're wondering what we're doing here on a Sunday, getting together, singing a song, raising our voices, we are worshiping God. We are giving glory. God commanded this. This is not a tradition of man. This is not a rule that we thought it would be a good idea to rally up the crowds. This is command of God. We get together. We make a joyful noise. We hit the cymbals. We hit the guitar strings. We make a noise for God, and we're going to ascribe him glory. You see, worship, it's not about our position. It's not about our feeling. It's about giving glory to God, and he demands it. And on that, we won't compromise. So Jesus brings it all the way back. After he speaks about these religious leaders and he really pinpoints things in their lives, he's bringing it back. What truly defiles? What makes us unclean? And the disciples asked again, what do you mean by this that comes out? And he said, I'm glad you asked that. Let me tell you straight now. Let me explain it to you. You guys are a little slow, Jesus almost says. Let me explain it very clear to you here. They made a thing about washing hands and thinking that's defiled. I'll tell you what defiles. Here it is. What comes out of us. And what we can compare it to almost is, what are we vomiting out? That's what is making us unclean. And Jesus is saying, out of the heart of man comes all these deceitful things. So it doesn't matter what you ate, how great it was, how clean it was, how good it was. If you start vomiting it out, it's unclean. And it's these things that's in our heart, man-made things, our ideas, our perception, that we are bringing to ourselves and to those around us. And I want you to have that mental picture in your head, and I won't go into it further, but that's the question. What are we bringing? What is coming out of us? You see, Jesus was without sin. Yet he saw, he hanged around, he heard many sins, many sinners. He was around it all the time. But being around sinners and seeing all the evil things in the world didn't defile Jesus. It didn't. He resisted. He experienced much temptation. We've seen him fight, sweat blood. We've seen Jesus resist, but he never acted on it. And when a temptation, where an idea of a thought comes into our mind, we have a choice. Either we can explore that idea, that thought, we can dwell on it, or we can say, no, the Word of God says. We can get that feeling and say, well, I wasn't treated very fairly, and I'm going to say to my wife exactly what I think now. You're this and that, and something comes out of us, right? A thought comes out of us. We can be so mad in traffic that we just swerve into the car next to us, honk, whatever, and stuff comes out. And that very thing that is coming out of us is what defiles us. You see, these leaders, they acted on the temptation. They were so, so intimidated and scared and full of hate that they wanted anything they can find, any small little thing that they could beat Jesus up with. And as they spoke those words, as they asked the question, all of a sudden they were defiling themselves. They exposed their true hearts. And Jesus says, you hypocrites, there it is. You guys ask that question, that's what defiles you, not how you wash your hands before you eat. What is coming out of them? Coveting, pride, deceit, foolishness, all the things we read there in verse 22. The word says in Romans 3, no one is good, not even one. And when we think about our hearts and our earthly nature, we're bent in the wrong way. Our nature is to sin. And God says in Ezekiel 36, he says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And once God replaces that stubborn heart of stone in our lives with his new heart, with a new spirit, all of a sudden things change. All of a sudden things coming out of us can bring life. We can speak words of life. We can do things that is God honoring. But we have a choice. We can either act on those temptations, act on those things that come into our lives, we can resist. And I want to ask you, what is coming out of your heart today? Is it fear? Is it doubt? Is it anger? Is it anxiety? God says, we have a choice. So I want to end. As we were speaking and you were hearing me, I wanted you to just ask God, what lies are you believing? Lies that has been spoken over you. And I remember we were on a hiking trip with my family and sisters and cousins, and we had these little bags of instant soup that you tear open, mix with hot water. And I was reading to read. I don't know if I was 6 or 7, whatever. And I was reading in Afrikaans, learning to read in Afrikaans, and the bag said S-O-U-P. In Afrikaans, you pronounce it soap. And I was looking at the bag, and I said, ah, this is something, tomato, whatever, soap. And everybody bursts out laughing because it's soup. It's not soap to wash your body with. And I can't remember much about the hiking trip at all, but I do remember feeling like a complete idiot among older kids, way smarter than me, top students, and I'm thinking, yo, my English is not that good. And we all have a story. Nobody intentionally always tries to hurt us. Some do. Get away from those. But often, it's just by life that they had no idea the impact they had on my life that day, right? And I had to get free from the thought that I can't speak English. I can't read English. I can't do. I struggled with English. Is that a surprise to you guys? I struggled with English at school. I was crying. I hated English. And God says, no, rules of man, they're not here to ground us. His truth. Let's test them against God's word. I want you to pray. Pray to God that we hit the mark every time. We're not the commentator that's pointing to the green stain on the rugby shirt and say, hey, what happened here? Realize what God is doing. See the big picture. Hit the mark. God will prod you. God will show you. God will convict your heart and say, this is what you have to change. Don't wait on it. And resist those temptations. That when those things that come into our mind, those ideas, those whatever comes, we can either act on the thought and start going down a path, then speak about it, then act, or we can resist and we can say, God's word says, so that what comes out of us brings life, and what comes out of us establishes the kingdom of God. Thank you.